Welcome to the Shit About More podcast presented by VSiN Esports Betting Network. Coming up, Kev O'Neill, the Odds Breakers, our buddy, will come on and we will discuss college football, NFL. Week one is here in college. NFL, not too far away, less than a week until we get the opener there. So should be fun to talk to Kev, get his thoughts here, see if preseason's changed anything in mind with the NFL. Had him on a little bit, I'd say a couple months ago. We have him on every couple of months. So it's football time. Good to get Kev back. And I'll give some thoughts on college football in a minute. Kind of just reiterate some things I'm looking at for the weekend. And, you know, we Brad Powers, I guess I'll just get into it now. We had Brad Powers on 6 weeks, a couple months ago. He mentioned liking Toledo. The more I looked at it, I liked it too. It was 10.5. It was 11. We're under the 10 now, so you're probably late to the party there with Toledo. Two ones I still like. You're going to see this trend. And I talked about this Sunday, recording Sunday for the Monday pod. You're going to see this trend all week. 0-15 against the spread, whatever it is for Kirby Smart, the Georgia coach, when they're laying 38 or above. They're playing Tennessee State, and they're laying 46.5. Tennessee State last year lost to, I mean, look at some of the schools, Gardner Webb and Furman and UT Martin, not just lost to them, but lost to them by 20 plus points. Georgia might win this game 56-0 by accident. I feel like that trend might come to an end. And Louisville's back up to 7 against Ole Miss. It's a good lesson. I was doing the show Sunday with John Jastrzemski, the VSiN weekend morning line, and he was saying, oh, I like Louisville plus 6.5. You never take the 6. I'm not saying never, but not a good habit to take 6.5 and take 2.5 when you still got a bunch of time between now and game time, because you know what? That 6.5 might turn to 7. That 2.5 might turn to 3. And if the 6.5 goes to 6 or the 2.5 goes to 2, you live with it. It's not a big deal. I mean, 6.5 to 6 is not all the difference in the world. Just the risk reward of waiting for key numbers is big there. And I think Louisville, who gets Keenholz, the transfer quarterback from Ohio State, dual threat guy. Brahm is tremendous as an underdog. 32-15. Record as an underdog with a bunch of outright upsets. Isaac Brown, running back at 1,000 yards, is a freshman. 2 years ago, last year would have had even more than that. But he got hurt, brought in an offensive line that has a lot of experience, 142 starts from guys they've added in the portal here. So to me, that's a pretty good bet on Louisville getting the 7 points against Ole Miss, who a new coach. We'll see here without Lane Kiffin pulling the strings. I know they got Trinidad Chambos back and they got Lacey. That's a good start. It's a good 1-2 punch from a team that made the college football semis. But Louisville getting the 7 there is one I like. And we'll see what Kev O'Neill thinks about that. And boy, a lot of big spreads this week. I mean, the last few years in college football, you get the Texas, Ohio State, you get all these big games, a bunch of top 10 classes, Miami, Notre Dame last year. It felt like every window last year, there were really good games. It's not the case. There's a lot of 4 or 5 touchdown spreads in these games. So the good games, the competitive games, and the ones that really mean a lot are few and far between. But it's going to be fun to have it back, the full card here in college football, why they have 2 games going against each other Sunday night, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and Ole Miss, Louisville, both basically at the same time Sunday night, and they got 1 3:30 game. Why they didn't spread that out more, I have no idea. Makes no sense, but like with a lot of other things, nobody consults me when it comes to the schedule, but that's just a bizarre staggering or lack of staggering of the games there. Before we get to Kev, baseball. It might be it for Seattle. We're recording this Tuesday night as the games are going on. That's, you can't lose that game Monday night. They've been playing terrible, losing 5 in a row going into the Tuesday game. And look, you can tell me all you want about the schedule, and I've been saying it left and right. Hey, you play the A's, the Angels, the Rockies, 17 in your last 22. The way they're playing, I mean, you got to get to those games and have them matter. The way they're playing, I'm not sure they will. And to be up 8-5 in the 8th, up 8-7 in the 9th to lose that game, I know the schedule's easy. I know there's nobody in that division that scares you, but at some point here, eventually you run out of eventualies, and you might be at that point there with the Mariners. Speaking of the Red Sox, you know, I was doing the show. I recorded the Monday show. As Yankee-Red Sox was going on, didn't figure it'd be like a big talking point. I can't believe what a controversy that became. I mean, it was more so Will Fleming, for people that missed it, the Red Sox announcer. And to me, this was the big crime. Jazz Chisholm, who, as you guys know, if you listen, is not my favorite player. 7-1 game, he steals second, he steals third, and Will Fleming, the Red Sox play-by-play guy, starts saying that, yeah, you should throw it, the Red Sox should throw it, and this is Bush League, all this stuff, which, suggesting a team throw it another player, that's, you know, it's probably crossing a line, that's what he had to, he, eventually apologized for. Someone apologized. You know, when I'm a fan at heart, it got the best of me. The apology should be for lack of baseball knowledge. If you've played baseball, watched baseball, if you're familiar with baseball, you realize, okay, unwritten rule, you don't run at a certain point. You don't steal bases when you're up. You pick the number, 10 runs, 12 runs, 14 runs. I don't know what that number is. It's an unwritten rule for a reason. It's not written anywhere. I don't know what the number is. It's not six. It's not six, and that's just a foolish suggestion. And you get, you know, some of these idiots who are just, you know, Red Sox fans and content creators. You know, you can kind of search through some of my quote tweets and figure out who I'm talking about. People that only have jobs for particular reasons. So, you know, go Red Sox. Will was right. And Will Fleming, she was alluding to. I mean, give me a break. What a joke. People just defending the Red Sox and saying Yankee fans are being sensitive. The Red Sox were the ones being sensitive, their announcer at least, saying, hey, you can't run on us. We're losing by too much. And Boone made a good point after the game and said, you know what? 6-run lead. A couple guys get on base. I got to bring in my closer. So I was shocked by that. Just shocked that that became a controversy. 6 runs in baseball is not that many, where a couple walks, little blue pit, error, whatever. I mean, you could lose a 6-run lead. We see teams do it, I don't want to say all the time, but it certainly happens. And there is a point in baseball where you don't run up the score, you don't tack on runs, you don't steal and things like that. But that number is not six. I can't believe the announcer came off like an idiot, to be honest. Trying to make that point, that was just bizarre. And then suggesting you throw at him. You throw at the Yankees for that was just a very strange and just kind of an embarrassing take by Will Fleming. Speaking of interaction, I thought about telling the story. You know what? I tweeted out. I was, and we'll get to Kev O'Neill here in a second, talk some college football. I was, quick little story time. I was at the Fanatic Sportsbooks, the Fanatic Sportsbook near me. And everyone is usually super nice. There's about 5 or 6 people that work there. There is one person who is so miserable. And as soon as I get there, I walk in and every sort of interaction, anything is just like the biggest inconvenience to her. And as soon as I see her, I say, oh, geez, here we go. Attitude, rolls the eyes, just worst attitude, rude, you name it. I go to the counter, she turns around, and under my breath, I had some choice words. One of them was an adjective, the other one was a noun. And while her attitude is poor, I must say her hearing is spot on, because she heard me, she let me know she heard me, and I said, hey, it's the truth. So see here if anyone from Fanatics listens. Usually everyone's nice, and the coworkers, I'm well aware, are on my side. A few of them have mentioned to me, hey, good for you. She deserves it. So a little fun story time from the book. And I know Phil Krakenberg, who goes on with Gil Alexander, a numbers game, often talks about this. Some of these people just so miserable for no reason whatsoever. And just them doing their job is like the biggest inconvenience in the world. So that was a funny moment from the sports book. But coming up, Kev O'Neill, we'll talk some college football. We'll talk some NFL baseball winding down. We'll do more of that as these races, I would say, heat up. But doing this show Tuesday night, you might have all these divisions. I don't say spoken for because the AL West still up for grabs, Central. But most of them, you have a pretty clear-cut a pretty clear-cut team in first here that's, if not pulled away, is threatening to pull away. I'm not sure how many division races we're going to go. I've thought it's been interesting. A bunch of times I thought races aren't going to be there, at least for the division winners, and then they get closer. Then they pull away. Then they get closer. We're at the point now where we're starting to pull away too, but this thing can twist one more time here. Maybe we'll get some races here in these divisions. But coming up, Kev O'Neill, the Odds Breakers. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk some college football. This Should Bet More podcast. All right, it's that time of the year, a couple days away from week one. I guess by the time people listen to this, as we welcome in Kev O'Neill, the Odds Breakers, where he does a great job. Tomorrow's a big day. We get Thursday, a few games in college football, and it goes all weekend. Kev, what's up, man? I know you're busy. Great time of the year. Appreciate you coming on. Good to see you.
Yeah, great to see you. Thanks for having me back, Will. I'm very excited for football season to get started. Obviously, week zero just happened. I was at the Circa. We had a fabulous time as usual, and now we're grinding for week one.
Yeah, and I'll ask you, we'll get into college in a minute. We haven't talked in, probably, I was on yours a little while ago, but I haven't had you on in maybe a couple months. anything you feel differently about since watching the preseason? I know these guys don't play that much, but Atlanta, I know, was a team you thought had some value in the NFC South. I tend to agree with that pick, but it's hard with their quarterback situation to feel great about it. Do you feel differently about Atlanta? Do you feel differently about anybody else here as we get closer to the season?
You know, it's funny, a lot of people feel worse than Atlanta, and a lot of it's because of losing Pierce and Walker for the season. But you have to remember, they also picked up Za'Darius Smith. You know, Tua didn't look that bad in the preseason. I think this is just typical Stefanski in the preseason. The fact that the whole market is souring on him so much almost makes me like them a little bit more. Michael Penix is a good quarterback. He's proven he's a good quarterback. You have to remember, this coach was historically bad. Raheem Morris over there, worst choices. I didn't see inspiration that he brought anywhere. I just believe that, the new coach in Stefanski might not be the greatest upgrade, but it's still an upgrade from what you were. And Penix still has a big tight end over there. He's got Drake London. He's got one of the best running backs in the nation in Bijan Robinson. He's got a pretty good offensive line. They just could not put it together. They always had talent over there. I'm fine with the Atlanta. You know, the only change what preseason does is it makes you feel a little bit better about some of your thoughts, you know, but there's not like any massive swing change. I was a little surprised from a fantasy perspective of like which running backs were cut, which weren't. But I will say that the Arizona Cardinals, I warmed up on them more. And not saying like, you know, they're making the playoffs or anything, but I think they could be a good ATS team this year, Will. They still have a very good offense. You have to remember, Mike LaFleur is a very good offensive coordinator under that whole Shanahan tree, Sean McVay tree that's been around for a long time. You saw even he can get backups to put up numbers like he did in that last Packer game. And of course, it was backups versus backups. It wasn't, you know, something you want to take too much into. But look at the studs there. Trey McBride, still the best tight end, probably at least right now in the league. You know, that Marvin Harrison Jr., he's got to not drop the ball and he'll be great. Kendrick Bourne, Michael Wilson, guys that are have been around a while, and you've got a very good running back group and Jeremiah Love, Tyler Allgeier, and obviously James Conner is still on IR, but he'll be back at some point. I like the offense. I think they're a great backdoor team. I think they're going to be good as a dog. I like them week one plus 10.5 against the Chargers.
Reading my mind, man. Reading my mind. I'm with you. And I played under 4.5. You know, I looked for like an over 3.5 to maybe, because just kind of want to kind of maybe get off somebody, go for a middle. It's possible they landed on 4. And I was a team, a lot of people, it was kind of a trendy team last year. They were 2-0, and I've talked about this a million times. They played the 49ers week 3. Granted, it was Mac Jones, but they were about to win. They dropped a pass that would have sealed the game, put them at 3-0. And ever since then, they lost to Seattle in overtime. Granted, it took a comeback. They got hurt. They lost players. They lost close games. By the end of the year, they were just a mess. But I agree. Probably not going to amount to so many wins because that's about as tough a schedule as I've ever seen anyone have in the NFL. But, you know, backdoor cover team, that kind of team, I could see them being, you know, 11-6 against the spread, even though they're 3-14 or 4-13 or something like that, you know, with the actual record straight up.
Right.
Remind us, who do you like? What are two or three kind of positions you have? Teams you like, teams you don't like here, season-long bets.
So season win totals and futures, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously some of these lines are changed a little bit. I mean, I still like the Falcons over 6.5 wins, as we discussed. That's minus 115 where I got it. Maybe it's a little bit better for some of the hate in the marketplace, but for them to win the NFC South at plus 450, I like some of that. And I've mentioned before, I'm still good on that. And I think that NFC South is up for grabs, and I wouldn't mind taking the best odds there. It might be the best value. And you're looking at the Saints, when they won games, it was against teams that were A, injured, and B, that just were done for the season. It was like a 5-game rip of like some of the easiest schedule that they had. So I'm under on the Saints, under 7.5. So, you know, I'm getting a better number on the Falcons with better talent, and, you know, Tyler Shuck with 7.5. Good luck. And I'm happy to fade the Saints. I'm I'm still low on the Commanders, man. They get injury after injury over there, and I don't like their running backs over there. Katron Allen, his last game went only 8 carries for 9 yards. Preseason, but at the same time, Jaden Daniels is going to have it pretty rough over there. They don't have a good offensive coordinator after they lost Cliff Kingsbury. I've never been a Dan Quinn guy. The only reason he made it to the Super Bowl is because of Kyle Shanahan when he was the offensive coordinator. So the Commanders, pretty good division. And like, I think the Giants take a step up, the Cowboys fix their defense, and the Eagles are the Eagles. So someone's got to lose all these games. Commanders under 8.5. Ravens under 11.5 wins still. Team pretty well in the preseason, but you still have a new coach. You haven't seen much Lamar at all, actually. A little bit here and there in practice, but, you know, none of their guys played. Derrick Henry's getting a little older, and now you have a very good Cincinnati Bengals team that's coming in hot, coming in healthy. Yeah, now, obviously, everybody's got to stay healthy, but you can say that about every single team. I think the Ravens under 11.5 wins is still a solid play, and yeah, man, the Bills to win the division. I think I gave you, I talked about that on your show maybe, a month and a half ago, whatever right. It was. That's getting up there now. I still like them to win the division. Anything minus 175 or less, so that's plenty available. We laid minus 125 when we talked about it last time, Will.
Week one, you mentioned you like the Cardinals. What are you thinking, otherwise here? I know, I think you liked Washington, man. And I agreed with you. From the reports of their camp, man, it sounds like they can't block anybody. And I was watching one of their preseason games against Detroit, and it was open season on Daniels. So that's a tough one. Not that I want to lay it with Philly, but maybe that's a good underplay because Philly, has long drives, eats the clock, milks the clock, and Washington, I'm not sure how much they're going to score. But you tell me anything else you like week one?
Here's the thing. You got to wait, man. I mean, what is good week one? Division dogs. And it doesn't matter if they're on the road. It doesn't matter if they are at home. It's a situation where money's coming in on the Cowboys. It's at +3 right now. They're playing the Giants. I believe they're on the road. I'm going to wait for that one, and I'll be on the Giants at some point. There's no reason to rush into this. We'll take this one on Sunday, the day of the game. And in the first game, I believe, is the Australia game, right? Am I right? The Niners against the Rams.
That's another Thursday, I think. I think we got Wednesday, Patriots, Seahawks, then the Thursday, Rams.
Yeah, I think 49ers. When Puka Nacua gets announced in, unless I missed something today, this line's at 3.5, 4. It's a little bit of a juiced 4 right now, but I think more money is going to come in on the Rams because of the Aaron Donald situation, all the offseason. But remember last year's survivor play for everybody again? Did not work out so well. And do the Rams have a home field advantage here? Two coaches that know each other so well can win with lesser players, but you don't really have that much lesser players here on the Niners. You got guys like George Kittle playing. You got Warren playing on defense. You got CMC coming in healthy. I mean, healthy as he can be. Mike Evans will be ready for that game. I know he got banged up a little bit in practice. Juszczyk's there. There's still a lot of guys there that aren't beat up yet. Deshaun Stripling, rookie. He's going to come in, too, and play some wide receiver over there after all the injuries to Christian Kirk and Ricky Pearsall. But they still have, Deebo Samuel coming back, who understands the offense. So it's kind of like a plug-and-play situation. I'll be on this team. I didn't bet them yet. I'm trying to get a 4.5 or the best number possible.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of fantasy, but any guys you think are kind of underrated, overrated going into the year?
Yeah, let me pull up my spreadsheet here. I got quite a few, actually.
Everyone's always looking for those sleepers as you look. Everyone always wants, that running back that comes out of nowhere late in the season and can swing your league, can win it for you.
Javonte Williams is a little bit underrated. This is a high-powered Dallas offense with Schottenheimer there. And he did a great job last year. He was one of the top backs last year, and he remained healthy. Now that they cut Jaden Blue, which was kind of a surprise from everybody, it just makes it so Javonte Williams might even get more and more carries. I believe Malik Davis is now moving into backup, but I don't trust any backups over there. So, I think he's going to do a good job. Even Jeremiah Love should do pretty good, like I said, in that offense for Arizona. Kyren Williams for the Rams is going to be fine. A lot of people think that Blake Corum's going to come in and take over. I don't think so. I think this is still Kyren Williams' offense. I'm a little lower on Chase Brown. there's just so much power on Cincinnati. Yeah, he'll get carries. He'll get some dump offs and everything too. But Joe Burrow is just so good with his wide receivers and his tight ends. You know, Chase Brown will be fine, but Samaje Perine is going to take some of that. Another bust is Travis Etienne. We used to call him ETN. Maybe we were wrong this whole time, but Etienne on the Saints has Alvin Kamara back there, and Alvin Kamara has a lot more credibility now that he's healthy right there, and he's taking a second string to him, but I don't think Etienne's that good. I think that the Jaguars were absolutely fine in getting rid of him, so he's one that I'm down on. I like Rico Dowdle a bit for Pittsburgh. I think he's a little bit underrated. I slide him at number 23 running back. Kenneth Gainwell, I like him at Tampa Bay. I moved him up a little bit. So last one is Chris Rodriguez. You know, he played football for Liam Cohen in college, you know. So if you want to look at Jacksonville, I'd be really scared to pick Tootin and, you know, some of the other guys over there, because I think that Chris Rodriguez could steal that job. And so Bishal Tootin is one of my biggest busts coming in. I won't own him in many leagues.
We'll get to college here in a minute. Last thing here on the NFL, what's the survivor strategy? Let's just say you had one, or somebody say, I got one survivor, I want to play it optimally. What should I do? Do I go contrarian? Is it so popular now to go contrarian? Can you actually go with the big favorite, which, you know, usually you wouldn't want to do in past years? How would you play it?
Well, if you're only playing one survivor, you're kind of playing a lottery ticket behind some sort of strategy that you might have developed. Maybe it's like ATS coaching match strategies, or spot strategy, or this, you know, travel spot, or, you know, bye week. You're trying to overthink things with bad teams if you're looking to cash like a top 50. So, you know, let's just talk about Circus Survivor. If you want to split that with 50 people, you're going to have to be contrarian the whole time. What I say is have that survivor and multiple survivors, you know, have a bunch of 50 and 20s and 100s and kind of mix it up so you can at least cash somewhere and, you know, improve your odds that way. My thoughts are, if you're taking favorites, have fun splitting it with 2,000 people, Will. That's what, $20,000 a piece? It's not going to get you a new car, you know, and you make it 20 weeks in a 20 pick parlay, Will. I'm not going for the favorites, man. I'm hoping some of the favorites loses. And you're not going to see me on too many favorites. Now, I get past Thanksgiving, you know, maybe I'll change my tune a little bit when I'm only playing against, you know, maybe a couple hundred people. We've been real fortunate in Survivor. Well, I guess disfortunate, but I guess the winners have been very fortunate to get so many people out during those Thanksgiving and Christmas weeks. But mostly Thanksgiving is where all the carnage happened, where every single dog won outright, if you remember. But what you're doing is my strategy is to do this. You know, I'm only going to do one circa, but I'll do an also semi-big one, and I will match my picks every single week. And then when it comes to Thanksgiving week, I'll go on the opposite sides on each one, and just hopefully, you know, one's going to get through. And if I make it that far, you know, I'm at least getting by with either circa or something else. You know, that's what I was thinking. And what's funny is I've heard Mike Palm and Matt Eumanns, and they've told me all the same stuff when we've been on shows together, but I've always agreed with that. And, you know, this year I think is a good year to make it happen.
Was Fez nice to you on your podcast? I saw you had him on your podcast. Our buddy Steve Fez.
He's a little too nice. You know, I try to challenge him a little bit. And, you know, he always said, he got out by saying it kind of depends. You know, that's what he would say on the situation. I was like, come on. Nah, he's great. He did an awesome job. Fez always does a great job. And, you know, I love Fez's passion for the industry. And he's well known in the industry and well known in contests. And it's always great having Fez on every year. And, you know, we have some good stuff to talk about. But, you know, he did a great job promoting us, and we love Fez, and he'll be back again.
Yeah, and I know Fez a little bit. You know, the reputation, people are like, he's not a bad guy. Eccentric, way more of an eccentric guy than anything else. He's just that's the word I would use to describe Fez.
Very eccentric. That's a great word.
College football, lay it on me. Best, I don't know, three or four against the spread. You can kind of run through them quick, fast, or slow, quick. Doesn't matter. But what do you got? I'll go first. I'll just tee you up here while you kind of collect your thoughts. To me, Louisville at 7 is a play. Brahm as a dog is great. Sounds like the quarterback's going to be a good player, dual threat, bringing some offensive line experience. The back is good. We'll see here Golding, the Ole Miss coach, you know, taking over what he's like. I know Ole Miss returns a lot from a Final Four team, but you know, that could be a backdoor cover situation. I think the seven's a lot there with Louisville. And now that you're getting the key number, I like that. And I mentioned this at the open. Everyone, you're going to hear these stats all week, Kev. Oh, Georgia, when they're a big dog, or when they're a big favorite, they don't cover, which people are smart to bring. I mean, there's a reason to bring it up. It's like when Dan Hurley in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, you get a trend that strong, you got to bring it up. I feel like this is the week it gets bucked. I feel like Tennessee State's so bad and Georgia returns a lot. I think this one's got like 56-63-0 written all over it, whether they try or not. So those are a couple that jump out to me. How about you? What do you got?
I mean, there's no real confident plays like 5-star, 4-star, 3-star plays. You know, I'm a my highest is 2-star and 1.5 stars and 1-stars. You know, you can call it a best bet out of any of them, but the truth is the confidence level is always low in college, especially with all the variance. I mean, last week I thought my great line value on NC State +6.5. It closed at 3.5, 4, and was even close. Same with Jacksonville State. I did win on North Carolina at least. I actually played a good one on the money line. I thought that was ridiculous going too far in TCU. So that was a fun one that I was able to give out at Radio Row last week. But, you know, Eastern Michigan covered for me. I kind of went 2-2 in total plays. But, you know, what I do like is a weird over. And, you know, this one actually, to be honest, it moved a little against me. I believe it's 44.5. It's 45.5 is when I bet it a while ago. Northern Illinois is playing Iowa. And, you know, there's a new coach there. Thomas Hammack's gone. He went to the NFL. Do some coordinating. Rob Harley gets promoted from defensive coordinator, but that doesn't mean slow and methodical because they hired Quinn Sanders as offensive coordinator from the University of Charleston, who scored like 40 plus points constantly. That was the norm for them. Fast playing. This is going to be a very slow to very fast change for North Carolina, as long as, you know, Rob Harley gives him the ropes, and I think he will. They on this team, he's not going to play the same way they lost almost every game last year. But here's the catch, you know, Taron Dickens comes in, who first tried to go to North Carolina, but wasn't going to be the starter, but then he decided to go in NIU. This guy is a redshirt junior from Western Carolina transferring in. He only played 9 games and was 5th in total yards in the FCS. For example, the guy next to him played 17 games. The guy right above him played 14 games. He played 9 games and he was, 5th. And that was, I thought that was awesome. He's a stud. He's small, but he's kind of like one of those little Kyler Murray guys that's accurate and runs fast. He puts up a lot of points, 38 TDs and 2 interceptions. Now this is FCS, but he's going to Northern Illinois here. You know, this is going to go over. This is going to go over the total, in my opinion, because Iowa last year 7 times scored 34 or more points, and they're playing a pretty bad team here. Iowa put up over 40 3 times last year. It's going to be a faster paced game than you think. I think that this goes over 44.5.
Just a quick thought on the two big games, Ole Miss Louisville and Clemson LSU. Anything?
You didn't mention Wisconsin Notre Dame, man. Oh, man.
I didn't.
That hurts.
Why? And I was talking about this on the open. Why they have those two games going head to head on Sunday night and don't stagger them out? I have no idea. But you lay it on me. You tell me whatever you think.
I mean, good job on that +7. First of all, I totally agree with you. I think Jeff Brohm is a dog. Is what you want to be on, especially in this situation where Ole Miss is kind of in a little bit of a hangover year, you know. And I think, you know, they're coming in. They went a little way farther than expectations. They lost some guys. Obviously, they certainly did well in the transfer portal, but Golding, their coach there, it's not exactly Lane Kiffin. They lost their offensive coordinator there. I mean, I think they'll be a good team in the SEC, but this Louisville team could shock some people, and they got a really good quarterback from Ohio State transferring in who really competed with Julian Sand to get that job. I think he was right there with him. I don't know if it was politics or what to give it to Sand, but at the same time, Louisville got some pretty good guys in the transfer portal, one in the top right. Yeah, and too many points, for sure. It should be 4 points, I think, you know. Not like anything where it's at.
All right. And Clemson LSU doing anything? Or you think that line's about right?
I can't lay it with Kiffin. I mean, Lane Kiffin coming in with a bunch of hype and a bunch of dudes. And, you know, at first it moved towards LSU, and now it's kind of coming back towards Clemson. Lane Kiffin is doing a bunch of weird stuff, bringing in NFL guys, you know, that couldn't make it. But yet, you know, it's going to be one of those situations where, yeah, they're pretty good in college, but they're not, you know, they're just not quite NFL. But if you get enough of those guys, you have a pretty good college football team. It's probably too big of a spread, but Clemson changed everything. They lost their quarterback, you know, and you know, they got a new guy there now. Dabo Sweeney, he's lost a lot for me in the past. I think he should have grabbed the transfer portal a little bit quicker than he did. What I wrote about Clemson is they're returning production, not bad, not good. 59th is what they rank, but they lost a lot.
Is the quarterback any good?
I don't think so. No, yeah, is it Chris Vezina? Is that him? Yeah, I didn't see enough of him. I don't think so. I wrote something on every single team, and I'm trying to bring it up here, and it's not popping up. I mean, once he's came in better and done a better job after Cade Klubnik was so bad. I don't know. He was behind him for 3 years, I believe, wasn't he? This is not a good sign for Dabo. I'm going to watch this game. I'm going to learn some stuff. I think like you can watch some games and not bet every single one, and you can always live bet it and have some fun with it, but that's all about managing your bankroll.
Anything on the menu special for the first weekend college football? You're out in Arizona, so it's beautiful. It's warm year round. What's the plan, if anything?
Menu. I mean, we've used wings to death, right? That's just a cop out answer at this point. I'm sure I'll have some wings, but let's go saltines with some mozzarella cheese and some prosciutto, you know. Let's get a little fancy. Maybe some salami. How about some salami there? I love that. Some smoked salmon. I'll have to get some from the store, but we used to catch smoked salmon or lake trout up in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota area, and we'd smoke it, and it was delicious. Eat it with saltines and some cheese on a cracker.
The cheese, you melt the cheese, or you just eat the cheese off the cracker?
No, you don't melt the cheese. Just eat it. Eat it cold.
On that note, that is one where I'll be shooting you a text. I'll have to try that. It's about as actionable as anyone has said on this podcast in a long time. So I'm getting hungry just thinking about it, just talking about it. Kev, it was a pleasure, man. Thank you for coming on. Great job. Where can we find you?
Check us out, The Odds Breakers. We have a great article about college football pace changes. If you're worried about tempo and betting totals, it's only got a shelf life of about 2 or 3 weeks, so you better check it out quick. But pace changes is fun to get on early, and I did the work. So it took a long time to create it, but you'll see the old coach going out, the new coordinator coach coming in, and my predicted pace change. Thanks again, Will, for having me. We're going to be at The Odds Breakers all year long talking college and NFL football.
Thanks to Kev O'Neill. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you, Kev. Check out Kev's stuff at The Odds Breaker. We will be back on Friday. We will be one day away from week 1 of the college football season. Rate, review, subscribe. See you then.